I like to do something that we used to do. I guess somehow it got lost. I like to just kind of go around and have each person just introduce himself and tell us kind of what you do for a living. And so we'll kind of get to know each other in the group. So why don't we start over here?
Okay. Well, I'm not Sam here. I'm Samuel Harris. Big reason for that is that this is my third time to come. Audie Breyer was one disciple of me, and we've become very, very good friends. And I'm retired now. I'm not really retired, but from what I did to make a living for many years. I live in Eastland, Texas, and glad to be here.
Thank you.
My name is Audie Breyer, and I live in the Austin area. I have a residential remodeling company.
I'm Corbin Ray. This is my second time here. I work at oil and gas in Katy, Texas. And I'm good for quite a few years. Glad to be here.
I'm Tom Nelson. I live in Katy, and I'm a plumbing engineer.
I'm Eric. This is my first time here. I'm a college student.
Okay.
TV O'Connor lived in Graceville, so I went to Belmont lunch. So Russell was my hall. And so since then, Jeremy and I have met. My brother, Russell Timothy, he's working with Mike and me with Clint and Eric. So, I work at ExxonMobil and supplies there at Belmont.
Okay. Randy. Okay, whose turn is it over here?
Originally to the sky, and I got introduced to Gary, and that's how I'm here. So, wanted to ask you if you have any plans, I guess, your brother, glad to be your partner.
Tommy Jarre, I've been in the Houston area, Tom. I've been married for almost 2 years, 4 kids. Working on the gas industry also, and living in the Big Island for a little over 20 years.
I'm Alan Ehrlich. Audi is my call. I'm a retired in sales, but now I get to be an artist. So that's what I do. I get to have fun.
I'm Mark Hillman. Professional career as a builder. And now that I'm retired, I'm redefining my purpose and trying to feel.
My name is Jerry Sasson. I'm in San Antonio. I'm Jay's prodigal son. He took me to Timothy at, 1993, somewhere around there. And about 7, I went through a very bad divorce after 15 years. Married my second wife, about coming up on 12 years. This is my third one of these, I think, that have been. I miss you guys.
Especially if you forget to pay for the retreat, she walked up. She gives
Okay. Back around to me, huh? All right, Jay Baker, real estate broker. Got a son and daughter. Daughter's 48, son's 52. A couple of granddaughters that are 16 and 20. And so, been involved with the ministry since 1985 when I met a guy named Denny Pierce at a breakfast meeting, and later got introduced to Dave Rattigan. So I can tell you a little bit more about my life now, I guess. My friend Mark sent me a little joke. Thought I might read it to you. It's kind of a religious joke. Said a Jewish son tells his father he is moving out. The son returns a year later and tells his father that he has converted to Christianity. The father is upset and calls his friend, who is also Jewish. You wouldn't believe this. My son David moved out and for a year and came back and told me he was a converted Christian. His friend says, you won't believe this, but my son Benjamin moved out away a year, and when he came back, he had converted to Christianity too. Both were upset, and they called their rabbi and explained what had happened, and the rabbi says, you won't believe this, but my son Yeshua moved away, and when he came back, he told me he had converted to Christianity too. The rabbi suggests that they call God and tell him. The rabbi tells God that all three men had sons that moved away and converted to Christianity and don't know what to do. God says to them, you won't believe this. Anyway. You can use that if you want, Stan. Okay. Okay, got one right here. Give it to you. Okay. I kind of try to stay on track and not wander around too much here. I was born in Houston in 1943. That makes me 80. My dad was a soldier in the Army Air Corps in World War II, and my mother was making a living doing clerical work. After the war, my little brother came along, and we had to get a bigger house, so we moved to a home on 1 acre in the north area of Houston. Mom was somewhat of a church lady, but Dad, who had played professional baseball, preferred to spend his weekends with sports. Especially golf. I got a little religious training at the local church. My dad worked at what was called Humble Oil at the time, later became Exxon, which we got a few employees here. And my dad was a very moral guy, ethical. That went along with his profession of accounting, or at least that's what I used to be my impression about people in accounting. Emotionally, my mom was a very fearful person. My dad, on the other hand, was a strong, forceful, opinionated, and easily offended guy. So I grew up a composite of my parents: emotional, fearful, forceful, opinionated, and easily offended. Also went along the fact that I was a liar and a cheat. Like Dad, I preferred sports to religions. And I really didn't care much for schoolwork. I cheated kind of my way through school. Used other people's work and so forth. Like Mom, I wanted to help people and preferred relationships to achievements, especially in school. I spent some of the time in the assistant principal's office because I was more interested in having fun and breaking rules than doing my schoolwork. Also had another problem that was undiagnosed at the time. It was called ADD and dyslexia. So I didn't have much of a chance with schoolwork because that was undiagnosed and untreated back in the 1940s when I started school. So anyway, I later learned how to bring that under control on my own. Fortunately for me, I could play basketball better than most of the kids in Texas, or boys, I should say. Girls didn't play back then. I received a full basketball scholarship to Texas A&M, and I excelled at sports. Winning was everything to me, and being a star shared my burning desire to be one, the best. It was in college that my brain woke up. I got interested in academics. I still wanted to help people, so I became a high school basketball coach. Graduated from college, ended up as a coach and biology teacher at Lamar High School in Houston. My assignment was to teach biology, which I had a bunch of hours in at college, and to high school sophomores, and presented a life-changing challenge to me. I had to teach the theory of evolution. I had gone to church some as a child enough to know that evolution challenged the Bible story of man's creation. Eventually, the teaching of evolution and reading of certain books and so forth made the whole idea of God's existence seem about as real to me as the existence of Santa Claus. So I identified myself as an atheist. This would be in my early 20s. I met my first wife in college, and we married. We had, in my senior year, we both taught school and eventually ended up in a real estate brokerage business. After 14 years and two kids, two handicap on the golf course, a nice home, etc. The marriage ended because adultery entered our marriage, and we divorced. I jumped into the party life, and sex and drugs and other things were in abundance at that particular time. A girl I was sleeping with informed me that she was getting an abortion, and I was to pay her half of it. And I did it without really giving much thought to it at all. I met Nancy and was the highlight of my party life, and a very physical, satisfying part. 2 years into our marriage, I could see that we were headed for divorce. I was experiencing one of man's greatest fears, downward mobility. My system for life did not work, and I was looking for an alternative. I began to be concerned about another of man's other great fears, death. I had not given God a second thought for most of my adult life. I was a spiritual dead man. In short, God had shown me what I could accomplish on my own. And it was really just a huge mess. So here I am, I'm almost 40. I was about the time that my 7-year-old daughter, Casey, went to a Christian camp. And she came home. She was very excited to let me know that she had given her heart to Jesus. Well, I didn't understand that. I had no idea what she was talking about. And about this man named Jesus. I could tell it was very important to her, though. Other seemingly spiritually related things began to occur in my life. So God was coming after me. I was not happy, and I began to sense that my problem was somehow related to God. God came to me when I was out on a road trip near Junction, Texas. And I went into a cafe there. It was called the Good News Cafe. And there was these really happy people in there. I wasn't particularly happy that day. But they had scriptures, you know, pasted on the wall and stuff like that. Guy gave me his business card and said, if you meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus Christ and forget him, you've lost everything. Well, Junction, Texas is a long way back to Houston, so I started thinking about that as I was driving and my wife was sleeping. So when I got home, I decided that I needed to talk to my mom, the church lady. I figured, well, maybe she can help me out. And so I went over to see her and told her my story. And I felt like I needed to figure out who this Jesus guy was. And so she gave me a Bible. It just happened to be called the Good News Bible, by the way. Same as the Good News Cafe in Jackson, Texas. So God was there for me. And from my perspective, the Bible was written to introduce me to Jesus. As I examined the account of Jesus' life, I was very attracted to him. People came to him with problems, and he gave them solutions. And above all, he gave them peace of mind and hope. More importantly, he came to earth to die for my sins. I was convicted of my sin when I read Jesus' words. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I was in bondage to sin that ruined my life for over 40 years. I was a wretched sinner, very much a man of darkness. The guilt I felt before God was at the root of my pain and unhappiness I was feeling. What was it I needed to do? I had to put my faith in man and his theories of evolution and science, and they all let me down. I had tried it my way for 40 years, and it just wasn't working. I was really ready to admit my sin and my need to ask Jesus to come into my life, take control, and change me into spiritually alive person. So I did it. I asked Jesus to help me. It was January 23rd, 1983, 5:30 a.m. in the morning in my bedroom. That was the defining moment of my life. Jesus can change a man, and he began to put a twisted life like mine straight. He can, yes, he has been doing it little by little, baby steps, one day at a time for the last 40 plus years. Yes, but in my relationship with Jesus, I am at peace and I am joyful. I am the living proof of the resurrected Jesus who lives in me. Jesus said in Matthew 3:2, when speaking about himself, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Therefore, seeing Jesus is the kingdom in me. In 1985, 2 years after accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I first met the kingdom in a man named Dave, who became my father. The fruit of the Spirit was all over him. Galatians 5:22-23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control was all over him. For instance, one trait, faithfulness. When he's committed to something, he did it. Now I wanted my genetic family to come along with me immediately and to the spiritual family to see the kingdom. A couple of religious men in my age were introducing their families to the kingdom by using gospel teachings and religious schools and training. So I started promoting religious schools and that sort of religious attendance in my life. My wife, my son, and my daughter tried them, but did not see the kingdom. So the 3 years, they had rejected the whole thing. and I was just wholly joking. Then I discovered a week at Mobile Ranch some 30 years ago, which I got them to go to. And during the 6 days in June every year, I saw the kingdom everywhere. I saw the fruit of the Spirit and the people who attended and those who worked there. We eat together, enjoy the river, the pool, and group activities are just visiting. The fruit of the kingdom, Jesus, is everywhere once you understand what you're seeing. My two granddaughters, Aiden and Jesse, took the week right away. They made commitments to Jesus at age 7, 5 years apart, and were baptized in the river. Today, at 16, by the way, today's my Jesse's birthday. She's 16. Got herself a truck, Ford truck. And Aiden is 19. And they both still profess Jesus. I used to listen to a guy named Paul Harvey on a radio every day. Some of you might remember old Paul, a drive time radio program. And he would come to a point, he'd say, "Come back after the commercial and I'll tell you the rest of the story." So I thought we might take a break, but I guess I'll just finish anyhow and tell you the rest of the story. Nancy and I drove to San Antonio to spend the weekend trying to enjoy the beautiful river walk. We had hoped the judge would let me stay out while my appeal was heard. My federal prison ID number would be 611-69079. He said we had no chance of success. And when I learned that 95% of all appeals are turned down, I checked into the camp and my wife drove home. She cried all the way in several hundred miles and began her struggle of loneliness. She had the added burden of trying to take over what was left of my business and would be her main source of income. About 90% of the men in the camp were there on drug-related charges. They were mostly Hispanic, and they had been arrested for transporting drugs from Mexico into the United States. According to these guys, my crime was worse than theirs because what they did made people happy. Bringing drugs in, and then we were swindlers, and the drug guys were the good guys and the swindlers were the bad guys. This was an upside down world. My job, I was a janitor, and I paid $5.35 per month, not per hour. When this was all started, God had pointed out in the Bible scripture and verse, was my verse of hope. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and in due time he will lift you up." I had no idea my humbling would be quite so extensive. While in prison, I focused on my ministry of discipling to more than a dozen men. About a year and a half after my prison time had passed, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals heard our case and overturned 15 of the savings and loan transaction counts that we had been convicted of. They said that those things were just not illegal, and so we had to be resentenced. I still had a couple of counts that weren't overturned because I didn't have the money to do it. And so eventually, after 3 years, I came out of there. Most men come out of prison angry and bitter. I came out of prison a humble, broken man who still has confidence in God in his own way and his own timing was reconciling matters in my life. Post-prison, my experience with the legal system is long over. That's back in 94 when I first reported and was finished in 97. I didn't have any money. I had 14 separate legal and financial problems, including fines, taxes, restitution, past due accounts, lawsuits, convictions, judgments. Today, all of those have been resolved. God has lifted me up out of these things in due time, as the Bible promised. Today, I'm a free man. I used to sell real estate. I've kind of been retired since 2008, when the market turned against me. And focus mainly on the discipleship of men in the marketplace. As Paul Harvey would say, and now you've heard the rest of the story. So, anybody have a question of any kind I can answer? Let's make it clear.
So, Jay, the Good News Cafe, you were about 40 years old?
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, I turned 40 in 1983, so I was 39 years old.
And Jim, if I'm not mistaken, was your stop at the Good News Cafe on your way back from Houston to Colorado, or did you have a near-death experience?
I did. I almost fell off a cliff. I would have hit the bottom of a creek that was running through about 50 feet down if I fell off that in the middle of the night. I got up to take a pee and found myself with my feet right at the edge of the cliff. And so anyway, we weren't really much campers, so here we camped, pitched the tent right next to the cliff. Nice, huh? Anyhow. No, she didn't. I hope I had some insurance that time, but I'm not sure I did. Probably couldn't afford it. Anyhow.
When did Nancy come to Christ?
Nancy came to Christ during my trials. For those guys that are waiting on their wives to come to Christ, it took Nancy 13 years after I invited Jesus into my life in 1983 for her to make a commitment to Christ in her life. So, patience, patience, patience is what it took in my life with her.
Did you leave her to her own worry about meeting with a lady, or did y'all go as a couple to some meeting?
Well, Dave's wife, Donna, was doing some work for me. She was in our house once a week, and her and Nancy had connected earlier and got better connected, and then Nancy ended up meeting with Jenny Sawyer and doing the Timothy books with her. But she's never really had any real success discipling anybody except me.
is there a flip side of this on the female side? Like female JPT movement?
It's a men's ministry, and women support it.
Yeah, but I think what he's asking is, do the women disciple? They do.
Yeah, they do.
They disciple.
But it's not a ministry. No, it's not a, you know, women's JPT type deal. They can get a hold of the books and do it on their own. Okay, well, tomorrow I'm going to attempt to entertain you on a topic of training versus teachable. And what's the difference between that as far as I'm concerned? Now, there'd probably be numerous of you that would think that's the same thing. But we can talk about that. We've experienced that in this ministry over the years. So I'll be sharing out of my life of the men that I've discipled. And I came in thinking that Isaiah 60:22, the smallest mighty nation, I am the Lord, I will do it in his own time. I'm sure I've misquoted that, Rick. Yeah, anyway, I thought that it would be easy and there would just be all kinds of disciples and it would be, you know, kind of like filling up a church they do in religion. But it hadn't quite worked that way. I'd like to try to explain why I think that's the case. Anything else? Who's in charge now? Andy. Okay.
Thank you, Jay. Look forward to hearing more about that.